following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Another week is upon us, and we're glad to have you along with us for the next hour. Doug Duda, Big Daddy, Tony Davis, and your emails and phone calls always warranted and always wanted. We have so much that went on this weekend, and even some of those sports that you don't talk about on a daily basis find a way to step up and make some noise, like horse racing and boxing. You've got the NBA, you've got the NHL, you've got all the All-Star games that went on this weekend, soccer, as well as wrestling, as well as basketball, volleyball. They were all there. And, of course, the College World Series. 5 of the 8 spots have been filled, and one of those by Stony Brook, who should have won the first game and somehow found a way to come back and take games 2 and 3 and win the Super Regional.
Holy Sea Wolves. Yeah, when you get a 4 seed to advance this far, Fresno State, of course, did it. But now Stony Brook has done it as well. Unbelievable story. It will captivate Omaha.
Palminieri down to his final strike. They're on the top step in the Stony Brook dugout, jumping up and down. Edwards, swing and a miss, and Stony Brook, you have shocked the world. The Seawolves are headed to Omaha. The Stony Brook Seawolves are headed to the College World Series. They win this decisive game 3 in Baton Rouge. 7-2, the final score.
And in one more note on this game before we'll talk more about it, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to break down what we've seen so far and what we still have to go today. And heck, possibly tomorrow if it's not a very nice out in out at South Carolina, where they are in a rain delay from yesterday. Scoreless game 2, Oklahoma through 5. But how classy the LSU fans are. I mean, you can only compare it to Nebraska football fans for the most part. They congratulated. They high-fived. Stony Brook ran around the LSU field and received high-fives from the LSU fans after the game yesterday. LSU, in the second day, when their stud pitcher Johnson went in, who we talked about with Ben Love from TigerAg.com, the Stony Brook pitcher that went in and just shut them down, received an ovation when he left the game. You don't see that very often at any level in any sport.
Doug, after what impressed me with Stony Brook is there were a couple really bang-bang plays. One was a double play that they called interference on the guy sliding into second base, which I thought was, at that point in the game, I thought a strange call. There's a bang-bang play at first base that I thought the Stony Brook kid was safe. They called him out. Neither once did you see a coach running out there yelling. It was just like, hey, we know we're on the road. We understand that. We're ahead 7-2. I'm not gonna get irate and lose my cool, so my team loses their cool. How calm they were throughout the entire process. Minnesota beat this team 7-1. Didn't Nebraska sweep Minnesota? I mean, yeah, that was early in the year, but you look up and down this team's schedule. They didn't play any powerhouses. Now, obviously, if you got kids playing summer ball in the Cape Cod League, you're doing some things right. You've got some talent around there. They just seem to bring in pitcher after pitcher. It was impressive to get, you know, not only they took it to LSU in that third game. They jumped on them early, never did trail. It was seven. I mean, just took them out of the game. LSU's just shaking their heads.
And then in other super regional action yesterday, I didn't know this. Daddy, I'm sure that you didn't know this, but Jonathan Broxton, my favorite reliever now in the major leagues, apparently has not one, but two brothers that pitch at Baylor.
1-2 the count on Bosco, the pinch hitter. Bases loaded, one down in the bottom of the ninth. That hit him. We're tied. A fastball catches Bosco on the leg, and Matt Reynolds scores, and it's 4-4. Are you kidding me? Well, the bases are loaded. There is one out, and here comes John Clay Reeves. Infield plays in.
Got him!
Ball game. First pitch, Reeves takes it on the shoulder. We will have a game three tomorrow right here at Baylor Ballpark.
Dave Van Horn's Arkansas Razorbacks got plunked by back-to-back pitches with the bases loaded. Two different pitchers. Kid comes in out of the bullpen. Just a curveball that hung inside. Well, it was to a right-handed hitter. It was behind him. It didn't hang inside. It plunked him. And back-to-back hit batsman, and Arkansas prevails to force a game three today.
That, man, you know, Stony Brook's a great story. I want to know what Mitch Sherman has to think, because he's wrote a lot about college baseball here in this during this regional, super regional play. Is Omaha... LSU had to come to Omaha for the fans and for the atmosphere and everything. Now you've got a Cinderella team that, yeah, people will embrace. But the number of fans traveling from LSU had to be devastating when the hotels last night started getting those calls, cancellation, cancellation, cancellation.
Well, go get yours now. Opening, opening, opening.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but I'd be interested to see what he thinks. You've got Cinderella showing up to the dance and LSU, the darling, out of the dance. So I think you can – I'll be interested to see which way – if that helps or hurts. I think it hurts because LSU, the popularity of the event for them and their fans, I think it hurts the College World Series overall.
Depending on what Stony Brook does, and we could have one more Cinderella team there, and just about had it happen last night. Kent State was ahead of Oregon going into the seventh inning. Oregon scored three runs, and that was all it took, 3-2 Oregon on their home turf. That forces a game three this evening. Arkansas and Baylor play this afternoon. Oklahoma, South Carolina resume this afternoon as well. And then Florida, the only team on that side of the bracket, which will be playing on Saturday. That's not official, I've been trying to find that somewhere. That's not official, but usually the one side of the bracket that started their super regionals on Friday, they always play Friday, the College World Series. That means UCLA and Stony Brook, Arizona and Florida State will be playing in the Friday games. And how about Florida State, my pick before this all started, 35 runs in two games over the weekend, just yes. Blasting, yeah. Stanford. And Stanford had some opportunities. They were 10-6 yesterday, bases loaded, a kid that was already 4-for-4, grounds out to third.
Yeah, I think give props to ESPN and what they've been able to do with the baseball coverage, because this hasn't been like this for the last 10 years, folks. This is new to have all these super regional games on. About 2 or 3 years ago when they started, Doug, it hasn't been on forever.
Yeah.
The coverage is so much improved, and getting to watch these games, it's fun to be a part of them, fun to see the home atmospheres.
Well, more networks. That's why they do it. They got ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, the alternates. But again, still, soccer is overtaking the College World Series, which is just bunk. It's just, my God, just incredible.
I love to see the Florida State guys in the front row of the crowd that are about my size plus 40 pounds going crazy.
No, that's impossible. Throwing them out after they take the ball that was in play.
Well, no, the doing the Seminole chants and stuff. Oh. And running around going all crazy and wild and winding up their arms, and then they do the spell out Seminoles and fired up. Expect to be joined by, if not Mike Martin, one of the assistant coaches for Florida, Florida State. Have heard back from Florida as well, along with UCLA, expected to join us on Wednesday's show right now.
course, also this week, the U.S. Open will be taking place, and Jeff Shackelford is going to join us from Golf Digest tomorrow. UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen joins us tomorrow, and live Thursday, we're going to be on the road this Thursday in Hastings for the Sotoma 8-man All-Star football game. It's Saturday. We go over there every year to camp and talk to the coaches and some of the players, and we'll get to more of that as the show progresses here, because a ton of All-Star games over the weekend. But, Daddy, I can understand why folks are watching MMA if you're going to have Premier. Did Manny Pacquiao get beat so that he could spark some interest in this sport of boxing? Because if Pacquiao wins, nobody's – yeah, okay, he was supposed to.
If you're gonna get beat on scorecards, I guess $26.5 million is a nice parting prize to get beat. The challenger got $5 million. Pacquiao headlines the event. I don't understand. You look at the power punches and the judge saying, I don't look at the power punches, I judge the fight. If you're 74 years old, is that at the top level of the sport, are those the guys you want to have judging the event? I don't know. No one else saw the fight the same way the 74-year-old guy and the lady saw the fight. No one scored it that way. When you hear the ESPN guy talk about it, he says, you know what, if I was very, very giving to Bradley, I guess I could have found two more rounds, but he had it 119 to 109.
Most of the guys had it 11 rounds to one or 10 rounds to two. That is our ESPN Doug and Daddy poll question today. What was your reaction to the Pacquiao-Bradley fight? It was a great night of boxing. Disappointed with the judge's decision. Finally, someone beat Pacquiao. And what? There was a fight this weekend? Vote today. You can pick up some points in our Hy-Vee Rewards Club. Our weekend question was, what are you most looking forward to watching over the weekend? 50% of you said Game 7 of the NBA. 25% of you said the Belmont. 19% said Interleague. And just 6% Stanley Cup Playoffs Game 5, which, amazingly, is still going on. There is a Game 6 tonight, but you got to figure LA gets it done tonight at home against the Devils, because if they don't, they're done, because then the Devils have won three in a row and they're going home. Of course, the Kings had won three in a row and they were at home for Game 4, so I guess you never know, but that's going on tonight. The NBA playoffs, to all you Heat haters, here they are, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've been on this Heat deal. I'm not a Miami Heat favorite team of all time thing, but I like LeBron, I like D Wade, and I just finally got fed up with all the people that didn't like LeBron and couldn't give me a reason why. And the reason that I heard more than anything was the decision. Wow, that happens all the time in sports. Nobody got all over Shaquille O'Neal. Nobody gets over all these baseball players that go to the Yankees that are buying teams and buying championships. Heck, Miami hasn't bought anything yet. And they'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think that is way more potentially entertaining than the Celtics taking on the Thunder.
Well, Celtics got the lead at halftime, looking great. At the end of the third quarter, I think it's tied. And then you think it's going to go down to the end, and Miami just kind of pulls away.
It did go down to the end. After Rondo made the steal and laid it up, then some buckets made by Miami after LeBron hit that 30-foot three, then they took about five crappy shots, and their coach called timeout because apparently he can coach. And said, hey, what are we doing out here? Because then Boston got back in the game, and then the Celtics couldn't make anything, and the Heat rolled right out, got it inside, got it up to 9 and eventually 11 and cruised on in. Game one tomorrow night, 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock is the tip-off here on ESPN Radio. So that's what's going on with the NBA. Belmont, same race, different participants. You had Mike Smith, rider of Bodemeister, was on Painter. And again, he gets clipped at the wire, only not by All Have Another, but by Union Rags.
You know, it was one of those deals, and he was shaking his head after the race, saying, that loss is on me. I screwed up. The horse drifted out, let him through on the rail. And many people saying, That's a horse's natural reaction. Down the stretch, when it starts to get tired, they drift out. That's the horse does that. It has nothing to do with the jockey. Nonetheless, it was a good Belmont race for not having All Have Another and not having everything that went into the Belmont had there been a shot at the Triple Crown. The race at least lived up to some hype. That there were some good horses in there. It came down to the wire. I think people were excited for it. You had to move on when All Have Another wasn't going to run. So there's quality horses. I mean, those, you know, Union Rags got jammed in the Derby, and many people thought, you know, he was the second or third favorite in the Derby, actually, and got slammed at the gate and then pinched around the third corner. So to see him come back and do as well as he did, I think that was a little bit of redemption from their side.
Waiting to hear from all my Dunahill fans who didn't even factor in the race on Saturday. Was nowhere, just ran around the track, never was there, was always off the pace, never was a factor in this race, and that's who everybody thought was going to upset All Have Another, and Dunahill had nothing. So that's what makes handicapping horse racing the excitement that it is for the folks that are into that. And then finally this morning, Daddy, the French Open comes to an end. Cool that Maria Sharapova wins over the weekend. She's number one in the world. Maybe that gives a little face to tennis, which right now, obviously, for so long there, it was the women that were overshadowing the men, but that is not the case anymore. As Rafael Nadal wins this morning, and I'll be honest, I was not rooting for Nadal. I was rooting for Djokovic because I thought, once again, history. Nadal, I mean, it's seven titles for Nadal. Okay, so now he has the most French Open titles, which he'll probably get more. But Djokovic could have been the first man in 43 years to hold all four titles in tennis, which is just absolutely amazing. And I think the Tiger Slam is harder. I'll answer that right now, because you're going against an entire field every time. Here you're going against one man, one-on-one, every time. You got to beat six to win the title. And very, very tough. But you got Federer, you got Djokovic, you got Nadal, you got Murray,
right,
and it just doesn't stack up for some of these guys on this surface. But Djokovic loses in four sets today.
That's the deal, and we've talked about this before. The tennis deal, yeah, you've got to win six matches. No, really, you've got to win two matches, because there's only an X amount of people. That Tiger Slam deal, you got a heck of a bunch of guys that play awfully good golf. That's not the case in tennis. The drop off's really astronomical between the top four, five, six in the world.
We go to the Dent Popper inbox. Dent Popper, home of the Armor Lining. If any of the storms recently have banged up your vehicles or boats, golf carts, RVs, they'll take care of it all at the Dent Popper. And you can email us anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Buck and Carney says, Doug, you're wrong, which immediately I had to grab the paper. He says, getting back to the heat and everybody we were talking, he goes, I've hated the Yankees since 1919 and know millions of others who feel the same way. Well, I've hated them since, I'd have to date it about 74, probably, was when I was old enough to realize that I hated the Yankees, probably about 74, 75.
How old were you when you discovered evil? What's that put you, six or eight?
That'd have been five, six.
Yeah, how's it
going? Obvious. I think the answer is, and I don't know maybe I was four, because I grew up on the farm when the first recollection of evil, I think I fell down some stairs before that, which would explain a lot of things, but they were carpeted. But the first recollection of evil, and I think I've told you this story before, growing up on the farm and going by the old wooden feed bunk where all the flies were, you know, the cattle were done eating on it, and it was just, I was walking by and I had my big stick and I was going to smack the flies that were finishing up the grain, only they weren't flies, they were bees.
Oh.
That was the first time I think I actually remember running into evil, because
evil.
The bees didn't like that very much.
That's good. That's a good recollection.
That's all I
get. Hey, one more thing about the boxing deal. Bob Arum, who handles both of those guys, and if one made 26, one made 5, I have no idea what Bob Arum made, but it was a lot.
Yeah. Take 5% of $31 million and start there.
Well, Bob Arum walks across the ring and goes to Bradley and says, "Now, good fight." And Bradley says something effective, "Sorry, boss, I thought I could give him a better go than that." That's a true story. So, you know, it's just like Bradley knew that he didn't win the damn fight.
You can watch it all. We've talked about a whole bunch of sports here in the first segment, and you could have watched them all, and you can watch the College World Series at your official sports bar of the Stony Brook Seawolves. I talked to Colin last night. They've got it all going at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and the gang over at Grand Island. They are your official Stony Brook Seawolves place to watch the game, the official sports bar of the Seawolves in Central Nebraska, is the Chicken Coop. Watch them in the College World Series along with all of the games, along with the NBA Finals, along with Game 6 in the NHL tonight, where you can enjoy bowl fries and fries at the Kearney location for $5.99. That's their Monday night special. And every day, a lunch special for you. And when I say every day, not just Monday through Friday. You work on Saturday and Sunday as well. And they've got lunch specials for you on Saturday and Sunday. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30. Televisions everywhere to watch what you want. If it's not on, just ask them. They'll pop it up there for you. U.S. Open going on this weekend. Even some of the folks we know don't have enough televisions to keep up with the action like they do at the Chicken Coop. Enjoy your favorite beverage. Enjoy your favorite meal for lunch or anytime at the Chicken Coop. Don't forget to ask about their party rooms. They're available for all kinds of get-togethers at the Chicken Coop, Kearney, and Grand Island. Coming up, Mitch Sherman is going to join us from ESPN.com on the beat of the College World Series. And let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox. John in Kearney says, if Daddy had a judge like the Pacquiao judge, his walleye tournaments would never, he would never win a walleye tournament ever.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, well, your total's one, so it's not like you're, you know, a bunch, but that's one more than some people. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, it's The Herd. For all you parents out there, what's the best thing you can do for your family? Book that summer vacation you've been dreaming of? Take them out to dinner on a Friday night? Sounds fun, but the best thing you can do is also the smartest thing. Protect your family with a LegalZoom last will or living trust. I did. Taking a few minutes to complete your will or living trust at LegalZoom.com not only protects your family and assets, but shows how much you really care by making sure they're taken care of if something happens. LegalZoom wills start at just $69. That's less than a dinner out, and they last a lifetime. Their documents have been accepted by courts and government agencies in all 50 states. Plus, you'll get LegalZoom's $50,000 guarantee and attorney help when you need it through their personal legal plans. LegalZoom is not a law firm and provides self-help services at your direction. Save even more by typing Colin, C-O-L-I-N, in the referral box at checkout. Take a few minutes today to protect your family. For wills, trusts, and more, go to LegalZoom.com.
The NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. After a grueling seven-game series, the Miami Heat survive and advance to the finals.
Straight away three. Oh, yeah! LeBron James!
Now they head to Oklahoma City to face Durant, Westbrook, and the Thunder.
Up and in! Kevin Durant has given the Thunder the lead!
The NBA Finals beginning Tuesday night, pregame at 7, tip-off at 8 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see some sunshine continue as we head through the day today with a high temperature around 79. Northwest winds, meanwhile, stay from 10 to 20. For tonight, with clear skies and light winds developing, we'll head back to 52. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 72.
The Duke Fox Hero.
Hey, we're back. Doug and Daddy's Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Still going on. It started last Thursday. It goes today and tomorrow. The big plus one sale. Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Get online. Check it out. BruceFurniture.com is just right for you. 2 days left. 2 days left. All the Serta mattresses are on sale. Check them out. Call down there. Make sure Mike's there for you. Make sure the guys are there because you're going to take a bunch of stuff out. And they want to just let them know you're coming in there to make a deal because queen set starting at $199. The perfect sleeper firm, $798 for a Serta queen two-piece set. 90-day challenge. First time ever. Dare to compare perfect sleeper and try it in home for 90 days. You've got 90 days to make sure it's just right for you. Bruce Furniture, just right for you. They do it all. Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, out west, Alliance, or check them out at brucefurniture.com. 2 days left.
Daddy, Brian Christofferson just posting up on Husker Extra on the Journal Star website that no problem getting rid of the big-time seats at the new Pinnacle Bank Arena, which is the basketball arena in Lincoln. They say that all 36 suites have been leased out, 19 of the 20 boxes out. The suites lease for $45,000 to $65,000 per year, come with tickets for 12 people, and have been leased to 30 individuals or businesses for private use. It's pretty amazing. They've got some of the, I guess, some of the names on Astoria online as well. So evidently they're in line for Tim Miles getting on board.
I think it's a no-brainer. It's won everywhere he's been. Why wouldn't he win in Lincoln basketball? It seems certainly easy to do. Mitch Sherman joins us, ESPN.com, senior writer. Mitch, how are you this morning?
I'm good, guys. You guys are signed up for, what, two, three, four of those suites to be occupied by you and your guests in the coming years at the Pinnacle Bank Arena?
Daddy has to keep his family and friends separate, so I know he's got a couple of them in there. He'll have those babies full up. I hope it's successful. I really have as much doubts. I haven't had this much doubt about anything in Nebraska sports since Barry Collier was hired.
Well, that's saying a lot. You had confidence in you have much faith. You had lots of confidence in Bill Callahan through all the ups and downs of his era, but it just didn't work out in the end, I guess, is how you look at it, huh?
You're throwing me on the mat here, but I'll answer that. Now, for the whole time, that's a different deal, but from the hiring, I guess I was more fired up about Bill Callahan. I didn't want to see Solich go, but I actually had a little more confidence that Callahan could come in and get something done than Tim Miles. And God, that's not a shot at Tim Miles, and that's why it sounds so bad, because you want this guy to succeed, but it hasn't sparked the fire with me that a lot of the other potential hires, I guess, could have. But so be it.
Well, get down there and talk to him. I don't know Coach Miles myself. I haven't met him, but in talking to the people who have met him, he sounds like one of those guys who can make a believer out of non-believers, and I guess he's done that every stop along the way on his in his career. So we'll see. I'm kind of like you. I was kind of underwhelmed by the hire, but the more I hear about him, the more I think that while maybe it's not a slam dunk, it's certainly not a slam dunk. There are no guarantees. It probably was the best way for Nebraska to go. I can't think of an alternative, other than just why don't you just get Bill Self and bring him up here? I don't know that there were a lot of options out there for Nebraska that we're going to put it in a better spot. But we'll find out. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. We've had Coach Miles on the show, and yes, very energetic and wants to do well. I just hope he has the resources that he can do it. But obviously brought Mitch on to talk College World Series. Five of the eight slots have been filled in, and let's start right there with the story that everybody is going to be catching on to is Stony Brook. And we talked with Ben Love from TigerRag.com on the show last week, and as much as they tried, they said, LSU isn't overlooking these guys. He talked about how Stony Brook had more kids drafted than LSU did, and mm-hmm. and how impressive their pitching rotation was. I'll be honest, I thought when Stony Brook didn't get the job done in the first game when they probably should have won it, that it was going to be impossible to win two games at LSU. And they won them, and they won them very emphatically. I mean, it was a three-hitter yesterday. Don't overlook that. That's just a great story. And I think Stony Brook's got a chance in game one against UCLA.
If you can win at LSU two in a row, backs against the wall, you can win anywhere. Stony Brook's got a shot to win the national championship. And I'm not just saying that. I think it's legit. We saw it with Fresno State a couple of years ago. And as a number four seed, running through regionals and a super regional and in Omaha, and while Fresno State had a bigger name in athletics and had more tradition across the board than Stony Brook, everybody's got more tradition than Stony Brook. I don't see a whole lot of other differences there. It's a team that clearly knows how to play well together. The guys have confidence in each other. They are just a great unit out there on the field. They have talent. Let's not overlook that. This is something I was discussing this morning with some of our ESPN people who are going to be involved in the series this week, is that this is not a story that should be portrayed as the little engine that could. Yes, it's a small school, no baseball tradition. They come from Long Island. Not the kind of place where you'd expect to see a College World Series team born, but these guys had a bunch of draftees, like you said, more than LSU. You see their center fielder tracking down balls. He could play in any conference in the country. He could play in the SEC or the Big 12. I believe he was a first-round pick or a sandwich pick just last week. So let's not write these guys off as a novelty who's going to come to Omaha and go 0-2 or 1-2. I think they're a threat to win that to beat UCLA this weekend, and in a threat to go a long way in Omaha.
Mitch, better for Omaha, the Cinderella story in Stony Brook, or the darlings not being there from LSU? What's better for Omaha?
Probably Stony Brook at this point. You know, LSU is going to get here. LSU has not played in the new stadium yet. Now 2 years down, and they haven't been over. Their memories are still all from Rosenblatt, and it's a hard question to answer because LSU is always good for the series and always good for Omaha. They bring so many people, and some of those people will still come. Interestingly, and they'll probably root for Stony Brook. Some LSU people come when the Tigers don't even make the NCAA regional field. So, LSU, great program, always good to have them here, but you need to have these kind of things like Stony Brook. This is more rare. It's more of a treat to be able to get a school like Stony Brook to come in and just have that little school feel to it. And I think it's already the talk of the town here in Omaha that Stony Brook is coming, and it's going to build throughout this week. And when those guys go out there on the field on Friday or Saturday, I think they're going to feel a lot of love from the crowd at TD Ameritrade Park. They're going to be the adopted team. A lot of times that adopted team, it doesn't happen until you get a couple days in and you see the way these guys play. And, some team just kind of catches the fancy of everybody in the crowd and the media, and you fall in love with them. Stony Brook does not have to earn that at this point. They already are going to have that from the first inning of the first game. And to me, that's good for the College World Series, because the one thing that this series and moving away from Rosenblatt last year was trying to avoid was that corporate feel, that big-time feel. And Stony Brook just injects some more of that nostalgia into the CWS that I really think it needs in the new park.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, with all that said, it's not like UCLA isn't a good team. They're the number two national seed. Omaha fans and Creighton got to see them up close and personal. We're going to have Coach Savage on the program later this week. And you Nebraska fans are a little bit familiar with UCLA, so at least they'll know some of the names. What makes them such a good baseball team?
Just a solid team. They don't hit the ball all over the park. They're really kind of right in line with the new era of college baseball, with the toned down bats and the emphasis on pitching and defense. UCLA has been the class of the Pac-12 for the last two or three years, and they've learned how to play that style of baseball that John Savage wants. It's been missing from UCLA for a long, long, long time. There's been great baseball in Southern California forever, going back to the days of USC and Rod Dedeaux, and then it kind of shifted to the Big West Conference with Cal State Fullerton and Augie and George Horton and UC Irvine got in there. And you just wonder, where's UCLA? This is a school with as many resources as anybody out there. Should be able to recruit the best and most talented players in that part of the country, and they've just been a sleeping giant in college baseball. Well, they figured it out under John Savage, and they play West Coast baseball the way people want to play it out in that part of the country. And what it does is they come to Omaha and it translates to wins, because other schools in other parts of the country, the SEC, they're not accustomed to that brand of baseball. Now, that they're not playing guerrilla ball like they used to in the SEC, but I think those West Coast teams often catch the teams from the South and the East a little bit off guard with the style that they play. It translates well to Omaha and makes for an entertaining time. I'm looking forward to seeing UCLA come back. They were fun to watch 2 years ago when they lost in the finals to South Carolina.
Mitch, one team that didn't have any problems scoring runs over the weekend was Florida State, and that's not their MO for the year. I mean, this is a team that's hitting .282, but they unloaded on Stanford, and if they hit like that in Omaha, I liked them going into the College World Series, and if they hit like that in Omaha, they're the best team.
Just a huge surprise to see Stanford's pitching get knocked around like that. Mark Appel and Brett Mooneyham are, Appel for sure is barring injury, is a future big leaguer, and I think Mooneyham has some of those same kind of skills. So, I'm not surprised that Florida State won that Super Regional and is coming to Omaha for the 21st time, seeking a first national championship. But I am surprised with the way it went down. 35 runs in two games against Stanford pitching is just is a shock. So, what strikes me about Florida State is it's unexpected. Florida State is that team over the past decade or 15 years that has just teased you so many times that you think you begin to just lose faith. And I saw Florida State ranked number one in the country early in the year and having the gaudy record that the Seminoles often have, even through the middle and late stages of the year, and you just expect, okay, they're going to fall on their face somewhere. You know, they're either not going to make it to Omaha because they're going to lose to somebody they shouldn't in a regional or lose in a super, or they're going to come to Omaha and stink up the joint like they have so many, I don't say so many times, but they've certainly done it. And they went on a losing streak at the end of the year, kind of got down in the dumps, and were not playing good baseball going into the postseason. They lost the what likely would have been the number one overall seed in the tournament, and slipped down to number three. And I didn't expect Florida State to make it through the first two rounds, to be honest with you. And they played great, especially this last weekend. So maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year that Mike Martin finally breaks through. And if that does happen. Then it's going to be an extremely memorable 10 days in Omaha because he it's going to be all, so much of it's going to be about him, and he's going to want to deflect that praise back on his players. But I hope for Mike Martin's sake that Florida State does make something happen here, and it's not just a quick exit, because it would be fun to see the way that people would get behind Florida State too, knowing that he's been here so many times, 15 times, and has come away empty in every previous visit.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, formerly the Omaha World Herald, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We've talked about Stony Brook and UCLA and Florida State. The other two teams in are Arizona and the number one national seed, Florida. Three more super regionals hope to be decided today if they can get things done in the South Carolina super regional. Now that we're where we're at, Mitch, is Florida still the best team in your eyes, or somebody else a little more impressive to you right now?
I think it's Florida. I think they come from the best conference. I think they're the best team in the best conference. Now, it's hard to pick against South Carolina in any situation when the Gamecocks have won 20 in a row in the postseason, and I fully expect today that they're going to punch their ticket, come back to Omaha. But I like Florida, even over South Carolina. So the talent up and down that lineup with their catchers and, the pitching that they've got. And they've got Carson Whitson, who was a star freshman last year and I believe a first-round draft pick two years ago, kind of filling a middle relief setup role. I mean, these guys are just loaded and loaded with talent. I thought it yesterday. The thought went through my mind when that Florida Super Regional against NC State went to extra innings. And I thought to myself, I don't see Florida having any problem, even if the visiting team in that game winning here. And I would really be surprised if anyone in Omaha is able to knock Florida out in an elimination type setting. I think they're the best team coming in, and they're probably going to be my pick to win the whole thing.
Mitch, couple other Cinderellas. Kent State, I think, would be a huge mm-hmm. underdog entering this deal. They play awfully well last night, had an opportunity to win that ball game. And then I want your thoughts on Oklahoma, South Carolina, a little bit different with the rain delay. Does that favor one team or another as they start play about 3 o'clock today?
Yeah, it's a weird series. I mean, there have been several of those in the South that were interrupted this weekend, and unfortunate for some great pitchers like Carlos Rodon of North Carolina State to have to leave after 3 innings because of the 2-hour rain delay. And Oklahoma and South Carolina had good things going on the mound yesterday. It's a scoreless tie in the 6th inning, and those guys aren't going to be able to come back and finish that thing today. So that's tough. You want to see baseball played the way it's supposed to be played, and continuous through 9 innings and not have to rely on unusual circumstances. I think South Carolina will take care of business and probably sweep that thing, win the continuation of the game today, and get back to Omaha. The home team, they're more comfortable in that setting. Not the home team in the game, but they're actually physically at home. So I like South Carolina there. As for Kent State, yeah, it'd be a great story. Never been to Omaha. To me, the better story is Oregon out of that super regional. We've already got our Cinderella, our small school in Stony Brook. So, okay. Sure, it'd be fun to have Kent State here, and that would be Scott Strickland, the coach at Kent State, by the way, is one of the best young coaches in the country. If they come, or even if they don't, I'd like to get a chance to talk to Dave Van Horn, the Arkansas coach, who could be here too, former Nebraska coach, a little bit about Scott Strickland. I heard Dave talk about Strickland, who I believe they've coached together in the USA program, and Dave just raves about Scott Strickland. And, you know, Kent State had 21 straight wins until longest in the nation, until that loss last night at Oregon. But to me, Oregon would rank up there with Stony Brook as the best story of this series if the Ducks make it 4 years under George Horton with a program that was non-existent, that was out of business, that, you know, they rekindled that program. This is the fourth year. So if you were a freshman and you came to play for George Horton in a brand new program at Oregon in 09, you know, chances that you get to the College World Series in your four-year career, you got to think pretty slim, but they're one win away from doing it.
Well, Van Horn and Arkansas stay alive yesterday because Baylor found a way not to pitch in the ninth inning and plunk back-to-back batters. It seems like Baylor's the better baseball team, but, boy, if Arkansas got here, I think everybody would love to have a chance to root for Coach Van Horn.
Yep, he'd be a fan favorite. And, you know, Baylor just kind of seems to do those things in baseball. It's just
Baylor and Florida State need to play each other in Omaha. That's what there is.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I like Baylor too, and I mean, I would enjoy having Dave Van Horn here in Arkansas. But I'd like to see Baylor here too. Steve Smith is an old friend from the Big 12, and you know, I loved watching Nebraska and Baylor play in those years where Nebraska was doing great things in the Big 12 tournament. It seemed that Baylor was often there waiting for the Huskers in the final, and you know, it was Van Horn and Steve Smith in the dugouts opposite each other. So it's cool to see that again in Waco this weekend. And yeah, Baylor was the better team on paper coming into this thing. Just tore through the Big 12 this year. At one point was 18-0 in the league, and you know, to hit two batters with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning, up a run, Omaha on the line. That's just you know, as a Kansas City Royals fan, I thought I've seen every way for a team to disappoint you and pull your heart out and to lose games in bizarre fashions, and that one was new to me. So we'll see today, but you wonder from Baylor's point of view if that's going to be a little bit of an emotional of a difficult emotional thing to come back from, to be so close. And they had the double play ball with one out before the two batters were hit, and the shortstop kicked it, and you know, that would have been the game, and you know, that ticket would have been punched right there. But you know, we'll see what kind of resolve and resiliency Baylor has pretty quick, I think, in that decisive game today.
Mitch, Bubba Starling, any idea where he's at?
Single A, isn't he?
Yeah, he went to rookie league in it wasn't Wilmington, Delaware. It was just check out the Royals where the Royals rookie league.
Okay.
Rookie league organization, or their rookie league team is. He just got assigned last week after the draft when extended spring training in Arizona came to an end, and he was assigned to the Royals rookie league team. So he'll be there with some of the kids who were just drafted and signed early last week, and then a bunch of other 2011 draftees and you know, starting his climb, I guess, up to Kansas City. Now we'll be able to long climb. I think it's like 2015 before he gets there. But now we'll be able to actually start seeing some stats from Bubba. You know, the extended spring training is basically just their scrimmages, their practices. There are no numbers coming out of those things, so you have to take for granted what the people in the organization are saying. And they said good things, but I kind of take it with a grain of salt, because you're not going to say bad things about your $7.5 million man, like he stunk it up in extended spring training. I'm sure he did fine athletically. I really wonder how he did, you know, handling the bat against some of the types of pitching that he just did not see in high school baseball, or even outside of high school baseball. His time on the diamond was so limited because of the other sports that he played. So I think he's going to struggle for a little bit, at least on the offensive side of things. As a center fielder, with his arm, with the occasional, you know, the huge home runs, the power, he'll be fine. You know, he'll put together a nice highlight tape, but I think he's going to struggle for consistency, even in rookie league and A ball for the first you know, portion of his career. But you know, ultimately, that athleticism, he's going to figure it out if he has a good attitude, and I think he does. So you know, it's, you know, don't expect him up in you know, in Omaha next year on his way to Kansas City. This is a project. It's a couple, three, four years in the making, and that's why it's good that you know, the Kansas City's getting him at a young age, because he can still be 21 or 22 when he's making his big league debut after a long climb through the minors.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. I'll let you out of here with this, Mitch. Obviously, when the College World Series gets done, it's basically July 1st. And after Independence Day, everybody here is looking into football. Are you diving right back into the football beat? What's after the World Series for you?
Yeah, I'm working on a football assignment today before I get back into College World Series. So I'm football all the time, and I get this little reprieve for 2 weeks to get into baseball. I'll be mostly baseball for the next couple of weeks, but I'm looking for all kinds of interesting angles that I can attack this summer in football. I'll be out in Portland, Oregon, at Nike World headquarters right after the 4th of July for the opening. It's Nike and ESPN's big event with 150 of the top players for the class of 2013 all on display in kind of a combine camp type setting. And, you know, these are players at every position who are going to be going to, all the big schools around the country. So it'll be cool to kind of get our eyes on those guys, get to meet some of those guys and see what they're about. That's July 5th through the 8th in Portland. So that's my next trip after the College World Series gets wrapped up in a couple weeks here.
All right, just write this down. Extra large for T-shirts and jerseys for me, and size 12 for the shoes, and Daddy would be a triple medium.
I'll mail you guys home a care package from the Nike store.
Well, while you're there, tell Phil hello. He's a good friend.
Sure,
we go back
sure,
a long
sure.
time. So, Mitch, we appreciate you. You're a good friend to us as well, buddy. We appreciate you joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We'll do it again real soon, okay?
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you in Omaha. Mitch Sherman joining us here on ESPN.com. All of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK. If you're looking for a lunch on the lighter side, try their chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad. Maybe you're up for a real fruit smoothie as you're driving around this morning or this afternoon just to take care of that craving you have at Burger King. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Back with more after this.
Making your facility greener can seem hard. Not necessarily rocket science hard, but at least 5,000-piece puzzle of a clear blue sky hard. Fortunately, Grainger can help with thousands of products, from lights to faucets to greener cleaning supplies that help lower energy costs and impact on the environment. So you get all your green products right in place without falling to pieces. You know, like a puzzle. To help reduce your costs with greener products, call, stop by a branch, or visit Grainger.com/green. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Michael Phelps.
I'm Layla Ali.
Jared here. Add some flavor to your morning routine.
At Subway.
Try avocado on your breakfast sandwich.
It qualifies as delicious.
What are you waiting for?
It's avocado season, only at Subway. Go for rich, smooth avocado on a fresh toasted bacon, egg, and cheese. Or spread some on any of your favorite subs. This flavor-packed superfood will push any breakfast beyond the boundaries of deliciousness. Hurry, it's only here for a limited time.
Subway.
Build your better breakfast.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some sunshine continue as we head through the day today with a high temperature around 79. Northwest winds, meanwhile, stay from 10 to 20. For tonight, with clear skies and light winds developing, we'll head back to 52. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 72.
I'm going home to the place where I belong, where your love has always been.
Who'd you take to win the College World Series? Did you take South Carolina again?
No. I think I took Florida because it was a no-brainer how many draft picks they had.
Go to the Dead Popper inbox. Greg says that Bubba Starling's been assigned to short season rookie league at the North Carolina affiliate.
Okay, cool.
To answer that question you had. Sticking with baseball, after earning freshman All-American accolades from college baseball or collegiate baseball last week, Pat Kelly, first team choice at second base on the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association freshman All-American team, released this morning. A total of 32 freshmen from 28 teams across the country were selected to the first and second teams. He's the first Nebraska freshman since who to be named a freshman All-American? By
Jabba
two
Chamberlain.
Organizations.
Shane Comine.
Nope.
No idea. Alex?
You don't know?
Alex Gordon.
Nope.
Darren Erstead.
I'm going to tell you what. First person that can call me right now. I said we were giving things away this week. Let's give away a large combo meal to Big Dally's Deli to the first person that can tell me who the last Nebraska freshman All-American was by two different organizations. Two different organizations. Who was the last Nebraska freshman All-American? That's the key here. He says the team. Let's see. How's this? I want to read this again. Kelly is the first Husker to be named a freshman All-American. We'll take it on air, Merritt. All-American and is the first Nebraska freshman since who to be named a freshman All-American by two organizations. Let's go to the phone line. Do you have an answer?
Johnny Dorn.
See, there's somebody that was listening last week. Who are we talking to?
Lee Preston.
All right, buddy. Hang on the line. Merritt's going to get you hooked up. Johnny Dorn in 2005 is the correct answer, and you have got a large combo meal to Big Dally's Deli, Hastings or Kearney. Thanks for calling in. Hang on the line. See, it's going to be that easy all week long. Question. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. I'm not saying it's an easy question, but give it away.
Then you got friends.
Give it away.
Picking fights. Now. We got to go to the Den Pop inbox. JP chimes in and says, hey guys, Pirates baseball all hour on the Doug and Daddy show. I'm listening intently.
Jesus.
Only person I know that actually flies a Pittsburgh Pirates flag. Looks great, by
it's
the
dedication.
Way.
Dedication. I liked the Pirates back in the day. Willie Stargell, the hats. You know, who
the
didn't like
get
the Pirates?
Swept. Are you kidding me?
Our time.
Yeah, our time.
Blah. Congratulations to the Pirates. They're playing well. They're playing well. And in that division, it's not going to take 100 wins to advance to the playoffs. So there you go. All-Star games over the weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. Daddy, Michael Schaaf of Cambridge, Katie Rolfson of Papillion La Vista South were named the State Athletes of the Year by both the Lincoln Journal-Star and Omaha World-Herald over the weekend. The World-Herald does their day by day, and the Lincoln Journal Star throws a few in there that they were considering as well, but three Class D picks out of their six, and then Michaela Mestel was also one of the finalists on the girls' side, but Stu Pospisil in the article saying very unusual, and the last Class D winner was out of Henderson in 1984, and they played Class C in football, but Class D in track and wrestling, so I guess however you want to look at that, that's where Michael Schaaf competed, and congratulations to Michael Schaaf. I think it was very tough. I think you knew about Schaaf basically since his freshman year in wrestling, when he got an undefeated freshman heavyweight, and then the way that he was defeated in the finals, and then everybody knew about Schaaf from there on out for football, for wrestling,
for track.
I think that's why he beat Drew Ott out, and maybe doing what he did in the shot put, beating Drew Ott out head-to-head, gets the job done there as well. And Schaaf more dominant in wrestling than probably Ott was in basketball. And then Schaaf pins his opponent in 16 seconds at the All-Star Classic on Saturday. He is a freak. And, Fenske, I just think he came on too late. Even though folks from around our listening area knew about Jed Fenske, the state didn't. And his numbers this year may have been the most impressive of anybody out there. And the Rolfson twins, they're going to be winning this award next year, too. One of them will.
And it's just a super honor for – normally it's reserved for the top – it's an A athlete, and it's usually a Husker recruit from one of those schools.
Scott Frost is the last person from this part of the state that won the Boys Award, and that was way back in – 93 or something like that.
I mean, if you go back and you look at somebody that came on the scene, like you mentioned, and for football recruiting on that side of things to wrestling, and you go through every sport and you start grading people, and you add up all the A's, it'd be tough to beat Michael Schaaf. I think when you go across the deal, And good for him. Congratulations. It's a real good honor, especially when you come from a school the size of Cambridge.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back to wrap things up after this.
Are you looking for a permanent office for your home business but still have budget limitations? Or maybe you want to grow your business into a new market but you're scared to make a move in this economy? Let me save you from your worries. Get a Regis Virtual Office. It provides all the benefits of a full-time office without the expense of one. You'll have a prestigious business address to call your own, an on-site receptionist to provide unlimited call answering, access to meeting rooms, and use of a private office. There is a reason why over 50% of Fortune 500 companies use Regis, because they have officing solutions you need. So reduce your risk, not your potential. Call Regis, the new way to work. Find out how easy it is to set up your virtual office, either around the corner or around the world. Contact Regis today and get 2 months free. Go to Regis.com/Cowherd. That's Regus.com/Cowherd. Or call 1-800-OFFICES. That's 1-800-OFFICES.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Your home for the College World Series is right here.
Into the right field corner. Plate. He's driven in four runs tonight, and he is safe as he slides across, beating the throw. It's 4-1, second for one, on to first, and that's it! The finals have gone to the Dogs!
This is Kevin Kugler. Join me for the entire College World Series from Omaha on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM, where champions are crowned.
We'll see some sunshine continue as we head through the day today with a high temperature around 79. Northwest winds, meanwhile, stay from 10 to 20. For tonight, with clear skies and light winds developing, we'll head back to 52. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We were having a little fun during the break. I said, hey, Daddy, who was the last athlete of the year from Cambridge before Michael Schaaf? And you rattled off?
I said Ed Thompson, then I thought Trevor Kubik, and then I thought J.F. Hoffman that played basketball at the university.
Jamie and Nicole Kubik, and it wasn't any of them. But my goodness, talk about some athletes. None of those won the award, but Christina Hotelling is the answer from 2003 and her smelly second graders.
There you go.
One of the great moments in Doug and Daddy history. It was awesome. You calling them smelly, not her.
Wow, I did. Great, great athletes, though. I mean, look at the list of champions that have come. And I guarantee you, if you go back to just talking Cambridge athletics, there's a lot of other great names that I totally miss. And when I mentioned when I said Kubik, I wasn't even talking Jamie and Nicole. I was thinking like Trevor Kubik on the boys' side of things.
You hate girls.
No, we were talking Michael Schaaf, and
I hate girls.
And that's fine. You know, that's the way it goes.
You don't like girls.
Right, great. Do you like? Hydrostatically driven power pivots. They just keep going and going. They just keep going and going. They don't start and stop, continually moving. That's what TNL irrigation system, proven technology that works. That's what they do.
Just talked to Representative Clark Bauer over the weekend.
Oh.
He was down in the Mississippi Delta seeing how things were going. Stopped in Missouri, stopped along the way. Yes, drove so that he could talk to a variety of the TNL irrigation dealers that are in every state in the United States and 60 countries around the world. They don't just sit there in their air-conditioned offices. They get out. They get the job done just like TNL does, just like the pivots in the field.
Contact your local dealer, Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge or Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. Folks have been doing it since 1955, continue to do it and do it better and better every year. Locally owned and operated right out of the backyard in Hastings. TNL Irrigation, proven technology that works. Call your local dealer today or get on TLIRR.com and check them out.
In Hastings this weekend, Nikki Barron of Bellevue West got two late goals to help the South beat the North team in the Girls Shrine Soccer Classic, but a very entertaining game, 4-3. The boys, not so much. Scoreless. They didn't play overtime. They just went to a shootout, and the North beat the South in the shootout. At the All-Star Wrestling Duel on Saturday in Grand Island, the pesky East, they just keep finding ways to do it. They beat the West 27-16.
Cheaters.
Also, the the New West All-Star Classics down in Minden over the weekend. The volleyball, Southwest Conference beat the Lou Platte, Twin Valley beat the Fort Kearney, and then in the finals, the Southwest beat the Twin Valley. Emma Schroer of Ogallala, she's going to Alabama, Birmingham. And it wasn't hard to see where her family was because there was Alabama, Birmingham gear on everybody. She was the most valuable player. I mean, Grandma and Grandpa had it on. The parents had it on. They must have been nieces and nephews, I'm guessing. They're little Alabama Birmingham Blazer fans. They were all over the place, and so there's a name maybe to keep up to date on. Then in the basketball, everybody won one. Twin Valley won the girls. Jordan Atwater of Blue Hill, the MVP. Fort Kearney Conference won the boys. Jacob Olmstead of Overton, the MVP. Lou Platt wins the girls over the Southwest. Courtney Aitken of Centura, the winner. And the boys Southwest Conference, that was maybe the best game of them all. They edged the Lou Platt 80-74. Carson Bloom had an outstanding game, and what a week, but outstanding game there. He was the MVP. But, Daddy, you weren't there, and I wanted to tell you this little story. Halftime of the first game, the girls' game, the boys are getting ready for the Lou Platte in Southwest. Connor Baronix wanted a piece of me for a long time, so I challenged him to a game of pig. I said, Horace, I can't make five shots, so we'll play pig.
Did you take him down?
Well, I was up P.I. to P. I just want you to know. I was one shot. I went to the money ball, the half-court shot. Dang, just off the rim. Then he went over the backboard, but I made it. To stay alive, we're tied at P.I.
Nice.
And then I think he beat me on a long three-point shot. But I figured, why crush the kid? He's just a high school kid going into college. The embarrassment of losing to me would be too much. I showed what was going on out there. I was up P.I. to P. That's all there is to it. Knocking him down. He hit some threes. I just told him no dunking. He hit some threes. I was able to answer. The key shot, though, to get me the lead was the backwards free throw.
Nice.
Up over my head, nothing but twine.
Nice.
He couldn't do that. He doesn't know how to do that.
I love you. You know, bring up UAB. We got a girl from our backyard headed down there to play some basketball. Any idea? I look up on the football side of things because that's what people can relate to. One of the career receiving leaders at UAB. Any idea? One of the remarkable athletes in the NFL, actually. Roddy White, number two on that list out of UAB.
There you go. Okay, that's good. And golf going on, folks. Yesterday, you know, Riley Reinertsen wasn't bringing home the state championships, but he won last week in Fremont, and he won the prestigious Michelob Amateur at Riverside in Grand Island this weekend, beating Ryan Neufeld in a playoff. And now he's in Nebraska City for another tournament today. So congratulations. He's 16. The junior to be shot 70, 72. Yeah, 70 in the wind, and then 72 yesterday when it was not as warm, but not as windy either. And then at the Kearney Country Club, already underway today, continuing Tuesday and Wednesday, it's the Nebraska Women's State Amateur Championship, and that is going on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, I guess. So we should let you know, and we'll keep you up to date on who the leaders are on our sportscast this afternoon.
Doug, I got to tell the folks, because they will want to know this for tomorrow. Brian Edwards from Vegas Insider is going to join us in about, maybe up now. We're in about 5 minutes. You can check Vegas Insider. The Gold Nugget is releasing the 110 college football games of the year. I believe the Huskers have five of those games, UCLA, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State. Those are four of them that will be up there. Brian Edwards is a handicapper for Vegas Insider. He is going to join us tomorrow later in the hour to get his thoughts immediately, what caught his eye. If you've got questions for Brian, we would love to pass those along to him. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Daddy, they are up. The first game of the year is Boise State at Michigan State. The line is?
Even.
Michigan State by 6.5. Anything else you want to know? Just a little tidbit before we go into tomorrow.
Well, he told me what Nebraska UCLA was, so why don't you pass that along to the folks?
Nebraska by 6.5.
On the road.
Here's one for you. It's in the second week. Miami of Florida at Kansas State.
Oh, this is a little rematch from last year when Kansas State went down there and knocked them off.
Yeah, got their year going.
Well, now you got to think Kansas State would be favored by a touchdown. What?
You make me sick. I thought that'd be one that would throw you off a little bit. K-State by 7.
Well, they won there last year.
Folks, don't forget next week, it is UNK's Volley Kids Camp. This is for kids entering grades 2 through 5. They teach them the very basic skills and get them involved with passing, setting, serving, hitting the volleyball, and having some fun. Go to thelopers.com or contact Coach Rick Squires for more information and to get your kids signed up. It is next Monday and Tuesday. It's a very fun time for all the kids. Hey, we want to thank Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com for joining us on the show today. UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen joins us tomorrow. Brian Edwards from VegasInsider.com and Jeff Shackelford from Golf Digest to give us his favorite in the U.S. Open. Plus, another chance for you to be a winner tomorrow with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
Hey, later in the week, more College World Series talk. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN, other radio, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.